أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد Inshallah today we proceed to discuss Surah Noon والقلم or Surah Al-Qalam. This is the 69th Surah of the Qur'an, and it was revealed in Mecca, or a major part of it was revealed in Mecca, based on difference of opinion on certain ayat. Now, with regards to the name of the Surah, it is sometimes called Surah Al-Qalam, sometimes called Surah Noon, and sometimes called Surah Noon wal-Qalam. But it's just the beginning of the surah which has given the name to the surah. A tradition from the Prophet, peace be upon him, says that man qara'a surah Noon wal qalam a'tahu Allahu thawaba thawab alladhina hasuna khulquhum. Whoever recites surah Noon wal qalam, Allah will give them the reward of those who have good character and good manners. Probably because, of course, in the beginning of the surah we hear about how magnificent was the character of the Prophet, and we would try to follow it, and therefore if we recite it, inshallah Allah will give us the reward of those who have good character, and inshallah we will have good character as well, and Allah would increase the reward by reciting this surah. The surah starts like this: Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Noon wal-Qalam wa ma yasturun, ma anta bi-ni'mati rabbika bi-majnun, wa inna laka la-ajran ghayra mamnun, wa innaka la-ala khuluqin azim. So there is a qasam at the beginning by the pen, salam alaikum, and what they write, and with the mercy of the Lord, by the grace of your Lord, you are not a madman. You are not crazy. This is what, of course, they allege the Prophet to be. And you will have an unceasing, unending reward. And you are of magnificent character. This is how the surah begins. Now we have to discuss the details of these verses. Now, the surah is the answer to an allegation. We know that at the beginning of Revelation, many allegations were made against the Prophet. Three main allegations were made against him, four major allegations were made against him, because no one could actually bring something equal to the Quran. Bring something equal in the literature, in the meaning and such things. So they try to find a source for what the Prophet used to say. First of all, the contents of the Quran seemed to them to be very strange. No sane person would ever say such things. First of all, worship only one God. Do not worship different gods. This was very strange. This couldn't come except from a crazy man at the time. You know, sometimes nowadays when you say certain things, the people think you are crazy, while you are quite sane and you say quite logic. But people think you are crazy because it opposes their values and how they are brought up. Now, one of the things which they thought was very strange was to discard all gods and worship only the Creator, Allah. At the beginning of Surah Qaf, أَجَعَلَ الْآلِهَةَ إِلَٰهًا وَاحِدًا إِنَّ هَذَا لَشَيْءٌ عُجَابٌ. Is he making all these gods and wants to have one God only? This is a very strange thing. This opposed all their values, upbringings, culture, everything, ما سمعنا بهذا في الملة الآخرة. إن هذا الاختلاق. We never have heard such a thing from our forefathers. This is just a made up. This is something that he has made it up. So, this was very strange. The other thing which seemed to be very strange was the idea of resurrection. أَإِذَا مِتْنَا وَكُنَّا تُرَابًا أَإِنَّا لَفِي خَلْقٍ جَدِيدٍ. Are we going, after we die and we become dust, are we going to be recreated in a new creation? This was very strange as well. However, despite all these strange things, it was a shocking sort of idea, or shocking ideas coming to the Arab population of the time in Mecca. However, on the other side, the logic was so strong, one. The miracles were so strong, two. The character of the Prophet was so strong. No one could find any blemish in that character. Nothing of insanity or anything like that. Nothing of indecency or anything like that they had found in Prophet previously. So they were trying to find a source. How is it possible that these magical words come from a person who didn't know how to read and write before? How are they coming? Where is the source for it? So they try to find the source for this. As here we will later on see in Surah Qalam, they went to Walid ibn Mughayra and they asked him, you tell us, what is the source of this? This is magical. This is mesmerizing. When we listen, we are absorbed, we are attracted. So where does it come from? If it doesn't come from God, from a source like that. So he went, listened to the Prophet. The story, we'll tell the story later, but the full story. And then he went to his house pondering, what is this? إِنَّهُ فَكَّرَ وَقَدَّرَ. He thought, he measured, he analyzed. فَقُتَلَ كَيْفَ قَدَّرَ. May God kill him. How did he measure? How did he analyze? ثُمَّ قُتَلَ كَيْفَ قَدَّرَ. ثم نظر, then he considered, ثم عبس وبصر, then he thought, I cannot solve this problem. This is not possible, that coming from a source, ordinary source. فقتل كيف قدر ثم قتل كيف قدر ثم نظر وبصر ثم أدبر واستكبر فقال. At the end of all those ponderings and reflections, he came to the conclusion, إن هذا إلا سحر يوثر. This is magic. This is magic. A magic that other magicians are not able to do. It's يوثر. This, he has chosen this magic which is quite unique. No one can bring such a magic. And I tell you, don't think about any supernatural cause. إن هذا إلا قول البشر. This is the talk of a man, but a magician. A magician. So one of the things that they dubbed the Prophet with was to be a magician. أم يقولون فذكر in Surah ذاريات فذكر فما أنت. In Surah Tur, sorry. فَذَكِّرْ فَمَا أَنْتَ بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ بِكَاهِنٍ. You are not a kahin, a sorcerer. Because many things he said was from ghayb, was from future. So they said he's a sorcerer. And فَذَكِّرْ فَمَا أَنْتَ بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ بِكَاهِنٍ وَلَا مَجْنُونٍ. Now, we come to this. One other thing that they somehow... One other allegation they made against the Prophet was that he is crazy. He's crazy. Why? First of all, he says, worship only one God. He's crazy. Secondly, he says, there is a resurrection, there is a judgment day. He's crazy. How is this possible? Nowadays, you know, we have all these ideas around us, and we justify it with evolution and science and such things. These are not new things. Since old days, they were saying the same things. But they justified it in different ways. with different logics. So here they dubbed the Prophet to be a crazy person, a madman. Here the answer is coming in Surah Qalam, the answer to those allegations is coming by certain logic, and that is, you cannot be mad despite your character. A mad person never can have such a character, never can speak with logic, never can behave decently, never can have this khuluqun azim, this magnificent forbearance, patience. This, how could you be a crazy person? So مَا أَنْتَ بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ بِمَجْنُونَ وَإِنَّ لَكَ لَأَجْرًا غَيْرَ مَمْنُونَ وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. إِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ is the answer to the allegation that you are mad, you are crazy. In Surah Hijr we have وَقَالُوا يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِي نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِ الذِّكْرِ. Of course, they said it to mock, to ridicule the Prophet. Oh, the one to whom dhikr is being descended, is being revealed. إِنَّكَ لَمَجْنُونَ. You are really crazy. Why are you crazy? You say all these things, but you don't have logic for it. What logic they wanted? The logic they wanted was this. لَوْ لَا تَعْتِينَا بِالْمَلَائِكَةِ. Why don't you bring us the angels? You see, they were crazy themselves, thinking that this is possible. Now, the answer to the allegation, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِي نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِ الذِّكْرِ إِنَّكَ لَمَجْنُونَ, the answer is, you are not crazy. Look, the way the Quran, of course, answered these allegations is very interesting, very logical. Calm. It calms down the Prophet, calms down the people, everything. Look, of course, you are not crazy. You have great grace from your Lord. Look how you behave. Look how logic, look how you live. This is not the manner of an insane person. So these few verses of the opening verses of the chapter is an answer to the allegation that وَقَالُوا يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِي نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِ الذِّكْرِ إِنَّكَ لَمَجْنُونَ. Now, the opening of the surah is very interesting because in the midst of all these allegations of junoon and sihr, magic, insanity and all these things, suddenly comes Allah swearing by al-qalam wa ma yasturun, the pen and what they write. This is a cultured man. This is a man, despite he himself never have written, never have read anything, but the message he's bringing is the message of culture, education, enlightenment. So, while قَلَمِ وَمَا يَسْتُرُونَ, I swear by the pen. Now, why pen is important? In other places of the Quran, Allah brings to our attention the ability of speech, speaking. The way we speak. Ar-Rahman. Allama al-Qur'an. Khalaq al-insan. Allamahu al-bayan. God has taught man the ability, the faculty of speech. Now, this speech is very important because if we did not have this ability of speaking, we could not communicate our knowledge, our experience to others. We could not know about past generations. We could not accumulate knowledge. And we would have become, I don't say like animals, because I know, I'm sure animals have a way of communication with each other. We usually think they cannot speak, but they can speak. They can speak, but they cannot speak the way we do. Just like they cannot use tools the way we do, the way our hands are created, the way our structure is created, is to use tools to create, to make things. Other animals, especially those who walk on their feet or swim in the sea, they don't have this ability of making tools. Now, this is one very great thing. The other thing, apart from the ability of making tools, is the ability of communicating the experience. from generation, experiences of generations to generations. This is bayan. This hadith, I usually mention it in akhlaq classes about the way we have to behave ourselves in our speaking, the way we have to keep our tongue. Amirul Mu'minin alayhi salam was asked, what is the best thing God created for man? He said, it is tongue, the tongue. What is the worst thing Allah has created for man? It's the tongue, the same thing. Because depending on how you use it, you can use it to destroy lives, you can use it to destroy nations, you can use it to destroy yourself, and you can use it to build civilizations. And that is what man has done, despite all its shortcomings and shortfalls man has done. So this is great. Now, if it was not for qalam, for the ability to write, now this is what we certainly know the animals don't have. Speech the animals have, may have. And we have, in the Quran we know that, for example, Sulaiman alayhi salam says, "Ullimna mantiqa at-tayr," we have been taught the speech of the birds. So it means the birds can speak with each other. And Sulaiman was taught that language. This is usually not possible for human beings to learn that language. But language, speaking, of course, we know that the animals have. But writing, we know, of course, possibly, for sure, that they don't have. Maybe some animals on the ground or something have something, some means of communication, leaving signs for each other to know and to learn. However, for human being, this ability of writing with these fingers, don't underestimate these fingers. This is the whole civilization is made by these fingers, isn't it? The way we write things, the way we pass things to future generations. So the very qasam, the swearing which has been placed at the beginning, goes very well with the idea of that you are not insane. I swear by the pen. I swear by what they write, the scholars write, people write, or whatever. I swear by the pen that Noon wal qalam wa ma yasturun ma anta bi ni'mati rabbika bi majnun. By the grace of your Lord, you are not crazy. Now the answer is very, as I said, it's very polite. It doesn't say, you are crazy, I'm not crazy, you see, no. With the grace of your Lord, you have great bounties from your Lord, and that does not allow you to be insane. Look at the character, look at what you say, look at what the way you behave, what is produced by your teachings. Look at this, you are by the grace of your Lord, you are not crazy. So, this is as far as the one layer of meaning is concerned. You know, Quran has layers of meaning. Among the tafasir, I like this tafsir of Kashf al-Asrar of Maybudi. It's written in Persian, of course. Of course, it's mixed with lots of Arabic, just like the style of the time, the 7th century. Of Islamic calendar, but one very interesting that he has in his tafsir, he says, "An-nawbatul ula, an-nawbatul thaniya, an-nawbatul thalitha," the first layer of tafsir, the second layer of tafsir, the third layer of tafsir, and then he gives in the first layer he gives the meanings of the words, the structure of the sentences, what it means, and then in the second layer it goes into details, tradition, exposition. In the third layer he goes deeper. To deeper meanings that may we understand from these sentences. Now, here, there should be deeper meanings as well. But before going to deeper meanings of والقلم وما يسترون, let's see what does noon mean here? What is this noon doing here at the beginning? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Noon والقلم وما يسترون. Now, this noon apparently is not part of qasam. As some exegetes may have alluded that this is also part of Qasam. And it may refer to something nice if it's part of Qasam. Noon is the name for this fish with generous ink. squid, they call it squid or what? Yes. It's generally sort of ink. And I don't know, in past maybe they used this fish for producing ink. They say, of course this is not proved or established, but they say that this noon, because noon is fish, big fish. A big fish is called noon. Like Yunus, about Yunus we say, وَذَنُّون إِذَّهَبَ مُغَاذِبًا, and that man of the fish. Zannun means that man of the fish, Zannun. And this is, of course, not a very honorable sort of allusion to Yunus, isn't it? Because he did something that Allah didn't want him to do. Although it was tarku ula, it was something which was not recommended, it was not sin, of course. But Allah says, that man of fish, Zannun. You see, sometimes Allah would want to speak to us in a way to say that it doesn't matter for me who you are. It doesn't matter for who you are. Your behavior is important. Now, anyhow, the story of Yunus is a different story. Wadhanun, the man of fish. So Nun is used in the Quran as a fish, a big fish, of course. That was a whale or something which swallowed Yunus. They say this noon refers to that sort of fish which produces ink. And noon wal qalam go very nicely together. Ink, the ink, and the pen, and what they write. Of course, they write with the pen and the ink. However, if that was the case, it should have been wan noon wal qalam wa ma yasturun. So it's not something which we can accept. Of course, except with some difficulty, or with lots of sort of tolerance in meaning or something like that. Now, the other meaning which is mentioned for noon is that it is from the disjointed letter, al-huruf al-muqatta. We know that huruf al-muqatta are used in front of certain chapters of the Quran. In 29 chapters of the Quran, there are some letters mentioned which has no meaning, no intelligible meaning. It starts with Surah Baqarah, isn't it? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alif Lam Mim, Dhalika al-Kitab. Now, Alif Lam Mim, what does that mean? We don't know. We don't know. Well, I will mention, there are certain explanations which are mentioned there, but eventually we come to conclusion that we don't know. It's a sort of a code between God and the Prophet. And God doesn't want anyone except the Prophet and the Imam, A'imma, who have, of course, the knowledge of the Prophet, except those to understand that code. And it's by that code that many things may be somehow revealed, may be manifested, if they use the code in a different way. We don't know. But Allah wa ta'ala rahmatullah alayhi says that this is the finest and the best thing that we can say about the disjointed letter. This is a code between Allah and his messenger. And of course, later on, because the knowledge of the Prophet is conveyed to the Imams. The Imams don't receive their knowledge directly. It's not possible for anyone to receive this knowledge directly. It goes through a messenger. Actually, we have in one hadith, Imam alayhi salam mentions this very clearly and uses a Quranic verse. At the end of chapter Jinn, we have this verse, أَلَمُ الْغَيْبِ فَلَا يُظْهِرُ عَلَىٰ غَيْبِهِ أَحَدًا. God knows the ghaib. And he does not make anyone to know about that ghaib إِلَّا مَنْ اَرْتَضَى مِنْ رَسُولٍ, unless a messenger with whom he is pleased, then of course he gives him that knowledge of ghaib. And the Imam says, it's through the messenger that this knowledge comes to us. It's not revealed directly to them. And that's why they are Imams and the Prophet is the Prophet. Now, it is a code. But there are other things mentioned as well about it. For example, these are names of the surahs. For example, the name of this surah is Noon, and God wants when he wanted to start revealing this surah, gave the name of the surah as well. Well, some opinions. Or these are allusions to names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, Alif Lam Mim Anallahul Alimul something, I don't know, because we have traditions in this vein, talking about these being allusions to the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have three surahs which start with one disjointed letter, one letter. It's Surah Noon, Surah Sad, and Surah Qaf. They start with one letter. Some surahs start with two letters, Yasin, Taha. Okay. Some start with three, Alif Lam Mim, Alif Lam Ra. Some start with four, Alif Lam Mim Ra. Some start with five, Ha Mim Ain Sin Qaf, Kaf Ha Ya Ain Sad. These are the sort of disjointed letters which are used in these 29 surahs of the Quran. And it makes it more interesting, actually. It attracts our attention. What is this? Why? For example, it says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Kaf, Ha, Ya, Ain, Sad, Dhikr, Rahmat, Rabbika, Abdahu, Zakariya. Why Kaf, Ha, Ya, Ain, Sad? What is it? Why it starts like that? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Taha, Ma, Anzalna, Alayka, Al-Qur'an, Al-Tashqa. Why it starts like this? These were the things which mesmerized the Arabs. It was stylish. You know, when you bring a new style of literature, just forget about the meaning, okay? Forget about the meaning. That's why some exegetes say that these letters are there to attract attention. Now, to attract attention in the sense that they think it's very beautiful. Very beautiful. That it starts like this, Alif Lam Mim, أحسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون. Is it the case? أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون. This Alif Lam Mim gives it a style. Okay? Now, but why not all the surahs of the Quran have started like that? Because then it would have become very insipid, isn't it? I mean, if all the surahs start like that, it loses its It's a style. It's stylish if you use it in certain places. Anyhow, let's not talk about these disjointed letters because then we go into an area which we cannot come out of. Now, so one of the meanings of noon, they have said it is a disjointed letter. Yeah, so it has no meaning. It's just that style which is used in other verses of the Quran. The other meaning of noon, they say that it is name of the Prophet which is used in the Quran with this sort of cryptic reference, like Yasin, for example. We have a hadith from the Prophet, peace be on him, from Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam, inna li Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أشرت أسماء خمسة في القرآن وخمسة ليست في القرآن. For the Prophet, there are 10 names. 5 of them are in the Quran and 5 are not in the Quran. The 5 which are in the Quran, فمحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم, it's used in Surah Ali Imran and other places. وأحمد, it's used in Surah Saf. وعبد الله in Surah Jin, وأنه لما غام عبد الله وياسين ونون. These are the 5 names for the Prophet which are used in the Quran. Of course, we have in other traditions that Taha is also a name of the Prophet. So we have some discrepancies between these traditions, and that's why we cannot rely much on traditions. We have to use the logic of the Quran in itself. And the other meaning is that it is the name of the surah. And the other meaning is what would take us to a deeper layer of this opening. And that is Nahrun fil Jannah. It is a river in paradise. A river which produces ink. Maybe a ring, an ink, ink which is light. And by that God wrote the whole story of creation. Now, we have to go deeper here. We have to delve deeper here. What does this mean? Let's see some of the traditions in this regard about Noon wal qalam wa ma yasturun. What I said before about wal qalam wa ma yasturun holds completely and logically. It talks about qalam, the ability to write, human civilization built by this qalam and writing and all these things. However, that's an-nubatul ula. That's the first layer of meaning. Let's go to the second layer of meaning now and how we explain this noon wal qalam wa ma yasturun. Let me first mention a couple of hadiths from Sunni sources and then a couple of hadiths from Shi'i sources. Now, in Sunni sources, Fakhruddin Razi says, Qala ibn Abbas, rahmatullah alayhi. Ibn Abbas is, of course, the most outstanding scholar in the knowledge of the Quran, as far as we know. After Ali ibn Abi Talib, of course. He was a student of Ali ibn Abi Talib. And whatever he had, of course, he gathered from the Prophet, and then everything he was checking with Ali ibn Abi Talib, who was, of course, the master. We cannot compare Ali ibn Abi Talib with other companions. Now, قال ابن عباس رحمة الله عليه أول ما خلق الله القلم. The first thing that God created was pen. Not this pen. Not this pen that we had. There was a pen. A pen with which he wrote the story of creation. Now, don't go to anthropomorphistic sort of ideas, you see. It is a sort of parable. It's a sort of simulation of what happened at the beginning of creation, which no one knows how Allah created, what happened at the beginning of creation. So it says, أَوَّلُ مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ الْقَلَمُ. The first thing God created was qalam. ثُمَّ قَالَ لَهُ أُكْتُبْ مَا هُوَ كَائِنٌ إِلَّا أَن تَقُومَ السَّاعَةُ. He said, write whatever is going to happen until the day of judgment. We will discuss this. Of course, this is, of course, very Ash'ari sort of thought, isn't it? Opinion. Uktub ma huwa ka'inun ila an taqum as-sa'a fajara bima huwa ka'inun ila an taqum as-sa'a min al-ajal wal-a'mal. Whatever is going to happen about lives of the human beings, what they are going to do in this life, he wrote it. And then he sealed it. This is the creation. That's ending, finish. Now, very strange, isn't it? Let's see. Wahua. Now, let me describe this qalam for you, this pen. Wahua qalamun min nur. It is, don't be confused. It's not a physical qalam. It's a qalam which is made of light. And light, of course, is not physical light. Whenever in traditions they want to allude to something spiritual, they say it's from Nur. Because Nur is Allahu Nur as-samawat wal-ard. Allah is the light. And light means existence. So it is not a sort of physical qalam that you may think. Qalamun min Nur tuluhu kama bayna as-samaa'i wal-ard. Its length is from the distance between heaven and the earth. Now, a huge qalam from light, meaning it's, of course, if it's not physical, it doesn't have length, or it's not, doesn't have dimensions. One thing to say that, how effective this qalam was. And Mujahid, who was a student of Ibn Abbas, says, again, this is from Fakhruddin Razi, أول ما خلق الله القلم. The first thing that God created was qalam. Now, interestingly, these Ibn Abbas and Mujahid, they are not reporting these things from the prophets, peace be on him. Where did they learn this? How did they know? Well, it's very clear. They learned it from Ali ibn Abi Talib and, of course, from other Ayyam alayhi wasalam, because these are not the things that ordinary people or ordinary companions of the Prophet can know. And if they are not reporting this from the Prophet, means they have got it from somewhere else. They cannot create it from themselves. It has come from some other source. So, أول ما خلق الله القلم فقال اكتب القدر. Write the قدر. Write the destiny. Write the destiny. فكتب ما هو كائن إلى يوم القيامة وإنما يجري الناس على أمر قد فرغ منه. So he wrote, it wrote whatever is going to happen until the day of judgment, and people are actually acting based on what has already been destined. Has already been destined. Now, these traditions are very palatable to Fakhruddin Razi because he was Ash'ari, of course. And then he says, what would the Mu'tazili say about this? He brings a reply from Mu'tazilis. قَالَ الْقَاضِي. Of course, it's not from Mu'tazilis. It brings the argument of the Mu'tazilis here as well, that they say that هَذَا الْخَبَرْ يَجِبُ حَمْلُهُ عَلَى الْمَجَازِ. This should be metaphorical. لَأَنَّ الْقَلَمُ الَّذِي هُوَ آلَةٌ مَخْصُوصَةٌ فِي الْكِتَابَةِ لَا يَجُوزُ أَنْ يَكُونَ حَيًّا عَاقِلًا فَيُؤْمَرْ وَيُنْهَى. It's metaphorical because the qalam, which is just tools for writing, doesn't have intelligence to be ordered and commanded to write, and it can write itself. Now, let's go to Shia traditions. When we go to Shia traditions, of course, we find more sort of substance to these sort of completely spiritual meanings. Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam is talking to Sufyan ibn Sa'id al-Thawri. Sufyan al-Thawri was a sort of arif, a quite moderate Sunni scholar who had quite good communication with Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, and in many instances came and asked about different things from Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, and he is one of those people who had a school of jurisprudence himself, like Ahmad ibn Hanbal and Imam Malik. But many of these schools later on disappeared, and only those four were somehow institutionalized, the four Sunni schools. But Sufyan is one of those who had his own school of jurisprudence. So he is not an ordinary man talking to Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam. قَالَ أَمَّا نُونَ فَهُوَ نَهْرٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. Now, this is giving us now some more substance to the meaning of this. Noon is a river in paradise. قال الله عز وجل أجمد. Allah told him freeze, and it froze, and became ink. Then God said to Qalam, اكتب, write, with this ink, of course. فَسَتَرَ الْقَلَمُ فِي اللَّوْهِ الْمَحْفُوظِ. The قَلَمُ wrote in لَوْهُ الْمَحْفُوظِ مَا كَانَ مَا هُوَ كَائِنٌ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. Whatever is going to happen until the day of judgment. فَالْمِدَادُ مِدَادٌ مِنْ نُورٍ وَالْقَلَمُ قَلَمٌ مِنْ نُورٍ وَاللَّوْهُ لَوْحٌ مِنْ نُورٍ. Don't take me wrong, these are not physical. It's all from light. The قَلَم, the midad, the ink, the law, the or from light. These are from some sort of other levels of creation. قال سفيان. سفيان says, I don't understand. It's very strange. What you say is very strange. قال سفيان فقلت له يا ابن رسول الله بين لي أمر اللوح والقلم والمداد فضل بيان. Can you explain a bit further about this lawh, the tablet on which Allah writes, and the qalam, and the medad, the ink? علمني مما علمك الله. From what Allah has taught you, teach me. قال يا ابن سعيد. He says, of course, I do not teach these things to everyone because they become confused. Now I know you are very confused. Even when we are discussing these things, now we are all confused about it, isn't it? So Imam said, I only tell you because I know that you have the capacity to learn these things. لو لا أنت أهل الجواب ما أجبتك. If it was not the case that you are the right person for answering these issues, giving my answers, I wouldn't have answered you. But let me tell you, you see, we said Qalam, Noon, and Law, they were from Noor, from light, okay? Noon was a river in paradise. Qalam was a pen from light. Now, then he says, he further confuses us. Fanun Malakun, Noon is an angel. That river is an angel. Now, this is becoming even stranger. Fanun Qalamun Malakun, Yuaddi ilal Qalam. Noon receives from God an angel and conveys to the pen. Wal Qalam Malakun, the pen is an angel. Yuaddi ilal Lawh, it conveys to the tablet. Wahuwa Malakun, and this tablet is an angel. Wallaw yuaddi ila Israfil, then this tablet conveys to Israfil, then Israfil conveys to Mikael. These are angels, of course, these we know they are angels, okay? And then to Jibreel, and then Jibreel yuaddi ila al-Anbiya, and then he said, Qum ya Sufyan fala amana, like, go now, I'm afraid that I may confuse you. Now, no, don't ask further. Now, I know that I've confused you as well, but one thing, why I mention this, because one thing is very important. The origin of everything in this world is paradise. Whatever Allah has destined has come from paradise and goes back to paradise. Kama bada'akum Ta'udu, the way he started your creation, from paradise, you go back. This is the meaning of us going back to Allah. Some mystics, they say that going to Allah means that we become unified with him. No, that has no meaning. It's not possible. How can we become unified with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No, we go back to a place where, from where we were created originally, to paradise. And those who are barred from going to paradise, they are in punishment because they cannot go back to their origin. Because going back to the origin is now a different thing from being there without having this sort of excursion to the world and going back. As Imam Hussein alayhi salam says, Elahi amarata. You have commanded us to come and see the traces, the signs that you have created, to go back with further knowledge, with better knowledge of you, so that we can live with you in your neighborhood. So now, this Law and Qalam Noon, this is the deeper meaning of it. These are, I swear by the Qalam, which started the creation, and what they write, or the, if we say this ma mastariya is what it turns the following verb into a verbal noun. Means, I swear by Qalam and by the writing which is, of course, has been made from the beginning of the creation. Ma anta bi ni'mat rabbika bi majnun. Now, if this is the deeper meaning, of course, this knowledge is coming to you from somewhere that no one can ever grasp and imagine. Now, just one question before I finish here. What's the meaning of, and before going to that, you know, when we talk, say that in paradise there are rivers of honey, rivers of wine, rivers, don't take it to be rivers like what we have. These are rivers of light. These are angels or whatever you can imagine. It is absolutely a different type of arena, a different type of life. It's not like this life. It's very different. These are just examples given to us. And these traditions give us some allusion how it may be. When you drink from an angel, what do you drink? What satiates you, for example, when you have this communication there? Only God knows. Only God knows where are we going. Only God knows where are we going. No one ever knows. And when we go there, when we reach there, we say, God, it's worth it. Now we complain. God, what is this life? Why are we here? Why so much trouble? When we go there, we say, God, yes, we acknowledge. It was worth it. Really, it was worth it coming to this position. Going to the world, coming back and finding this position, it was worth it. Now, what about that problem or dilemma which says God said to the pen, write everything from the beginning to the end of creation. And what you do, actually, you behave based on what is already written by the pen. Now, I leave the answer to you in discussion. Inshallah, we will find out an answer for it. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi al-tahirin.
لطيف خبير سميع بصير جلي راقب مجيب غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صلوا عليه.